listening to the Obesity Revolution. We're adding fact to fat. You can join the revolution. Follow the conversation and Sean's weight loss journey at theobesityrevolution.com. Now, here's Sean Mulroney.
Yes. Yeah, so let's first just talk about, why originally I used a ketogenic diet for lymphedema. And my first thought was that the only reason this person has lymphedema is because of the obesity. And if we can help them lose weight, the lymphedema is going to be better managed.
That's good.
It definitely, I mean, it had that outcome in my first study in 2017. But what I've quickly discovered was that even in my patients who did not need to lose weight, their lymphedema reduced when they were eating a ketogenic diet. Okay. And so I knew that there was more than just the mechanical problem of the obesity impacting the lymphatic flow and causing the lymphedema. And so what I found through, just scouring the all the different peer-reviewed articles that weren't necessarily looking at this, but I took the view, how you read the research from a different lens. And so I was able to interpret some stuff and come to some conclusions that were maybe different from what the original researchers were looking at.
Good.
And one thing that became very evident was that carbohydrates were inflammatory to the lymphatic system, that they decreased the transport capacity, and so you had decreased removal of toxins and waste from the tissues. And as you know, the more toxins and waste that remain in the tissues, a higher risk for infection.
Yes.
And so if we improve the transport of that fluid by not having inflammatory carbohydrates, then everything is better. But it was more than that. It was also the introduction of eating healthy fats. And the way we've been told to eat for the last 40 or 50 years is we've been told to be fat free. Yes.
Yes.
And let me tell you, the lymphatic system, I believe, runs on fat. And so it.
Why is that? Can you interject on that real quick? Why does it run on that?
So there's been some interesting studies, first on animals, but then there's been some recent human studies using a ketogenic diet with people who have lymphedema. And the mouse studies first showed us that fatty acid oxidation and ketones in the tissues cause lymphatic vessels to proliferate. We get new lymphatic vessel growth and increased transport capacity with fat. And I believe that we've been starving our lymphatic system of fat and probably starving all kinds of systems in our body of fat for the last 40 or 50 years. And so it's really been impactful on someone with a lymphatic disorder that they have not been providing their lymphatic system with something that it needs to function properly. When you think about, when you eat dietary fat, most of that fat is absorbed by your lymphatic system. It's not absorbed by the blood. And so you think about that this nutrient is so important to the body and to the lymphatic system that we have a system just to transport that and get that healthy fat to where we need it to be. I mean, I find that amazing.
That is amazing.
That system was built just for transporting fat, yet we've been told for the last 40 or 50 years, don't eat any fat. It's more than just the weight reduction, which is wonderful to lose the weight, but eating a ketogenic diet is healthy for the lymphatic system. It causes it to function better. And so I just really want to encourage people to consider adopting, it's restricting carbs as much as you can, introducing healthy fats that you enjoy. If you don't like to eat red meat, and I personally eat steak every night, but if you don't like red meat with fat, that don't eat that. There's other healthy fats you could eat.
Yes.
And so I would just encourage people to try to do that. Now, and I wanted to talk about your individual situation,
Sean, because you've been
trying stuff and kind of
I have.
You've got a stall and you've gotten those repeated infections.
Yes, yes, exactly.
And so I think one thing that's happening with you is that you still have, particularly on the inside of that one thigh, you have a large lobe that's trapping a lot of fluid and matter that is just delicious for bacteria.
Yes, it is.
And it
yes,
wants
it is.
To have those repeated infections, even though you are doing everything to,
yes,
to reduce
yes.
your risk.
Yes, I, yes. Keep going.
And
keep
so,
going.
Yeah. And so, you know, definitely you can, you know, try to remove any kind of inflammation from your diet. And part of that inflammation, even though it's a vegetable or some kind of plant matter that is considered low carb, it may still be inflammatory for you, particularly you don't do well with, like, some people don't do well with nightshades. So that's peppers and tomatoes and eggplant, which are all, you know, could be keto foods, but they might cause inflammation in you. And so I like how you went to a carnivore or animal sourced diet to try to remove just if there is any inflammatory plants from your diet, I think can be very, very beneficial. But even with that, you still got another infection.
Yes,
I think it
yes.
is really due to that presence of that lobe that is, like I say, it's just a garden. It's a smorgasbord
for
that bacteria.
No doubt.
And so this is when, you know, we can't do everything just with our lifestyle. Sometimes we're going to need medical intervention and, you know, seeing an appropriate surgeon to maybe have that lobe removed might then remove the place for where bacteria is going to want to proliferate and have those repeated infections. And there are some great lymphedema surgeons out there. You couldn't go to any surgeon. There are specific surgeons that know how to do these proper surgeries on people with lymphedema because, of course, you know, any surgery, you're always at risk for infection right there just because
yes.
you've had a surgery.
Yes.
So, you know, consulting with someone who is an expert in lymphatic surgeries could be of a benefit. And this just shows you that, you know, you, like yourself, can follow the lifestyle to a T and still have difficulties.
Yes,
So definitely you've put your place in a healthier place because you've lost that initial 125 pounds.
Yes.
But you still have lymphedema, right? You still have a risk for infection. You still have all these challenges. And so, you're using the Circade compression.
Yep.
You're using your LymphaPod. Really, Sean, you have done so much. And it is, I think, devastating to a lot of people with lymphatic disorder that they, you know, feel like they're working so hard. There is so, you know, taking care of the lymphedema can take such a huge chunk of their day, and they still have lymphedema.
Yes.
They still get an infection.
Yes.
This is huge, and another reason why, you know, you talking about this on your podcast and giving support, you know, moral support to these people that are having to go through this, it's an arduous thing.
It
takes over your life.
It has.
So,
it,
yeah.
And you know what, Leslyn, that you said that? I mean, and that's I have to, that is my main thing. It's like getting past, if I could go infection free.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I get knocked back. I mean, this last infection, my white blood count was the best it's ever been going into the mm-hmm. hospital. It was 12,800. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which is between 7 and 10 is normal.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that it swelled and it changed. And then it's like it was like it affected my lower body
mm-hmm.
even more so than it normally has, and I'm still
yeah.
doing that and
you're
still getting
get,
that.
you're going to get a huge amount of increased swelling with an infection, and then increased scar tissue that is reducing the flow of the fluid out of the area, even, you know, impacting that even more. And so, you know, I agree with you, Sean, doing whatever we can to prevent, you know, or at least reduce the amount of infections or the virility of the infections that you have. Another thing that has been talked about in the lymphatic community for quite probably the last 20 or so years is using a low-grade constant antibiotic.
Mm-hmm. And which I, and you know, be, what? I was on that, Leslin.
Okay.
I was
and
on
when the infection happened?
And it still happened.
Okay.
So I was on clindamycin, 600 milligrams a day.
Yes, yes.
And I did, and all of a sudden, boom.
Yeah.
I was a year and 12 days since I had my last infection.
Yes.
And so
was that a longer period without infection?
It was, and it wasn't near as bad, but it still. Mm-hmm.
But it still happened.
It still happened.
Yeah.
And it's like no matter where, and I'm not the only one. I'm not an anomaly.
Right.
And that's what automatically people think. Okay, you're not doing this. It's like, it's frustrating. That's all.
Yes,
that's the thing, Leslie. It's frustrating.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, it's painstaking. Mm-hmm. You know, me, I'm going through it. I feel that this is, you know, I'm showing the world, you know, what's going on. So mm-hmm. there's help, and even sharing this, like with you, having, you know, Dr. Leslin Keith on about having, you know, with lymphatics and stuff like that. And it just gets to where it's, you know, where do you go? And I know a lot of people are in the same boat, and it's like,
right,
you can't win for anything. And it's like, mm-hmm. wow. You know, my movement, you know, was on. I was feeling great, especially on the carnivore. Mm-hmm. I thought, man, okay, I'm going. And then all of a sudden, bam, it knocked me down like anything, Leslin.
Yeah, yep. So what I would like to suggest to you, Sean, and your listeners is that it is, you know, managing a lymphatic disorder is a lifelong and intense program of what you need to do. And sometimes it's still, you know, you're still going to have setbacks. But overall, I see the improvement in what's happened to you. And then sometimes we have to look at more drastic solutions like lymphatic surgeries. But the first thing is to do is to implement a healthy lifestyle. And as I talk about in my new book that's coming out in September, The Lymphatic Code, that lifestyle includes a ketogenic diet, but also other components that are going to make your lymphatics stronger and healthier. And you still are going to get an infection for those of you that already have a history of infection. But hopefully, as in your case that just happened, Sean, that you will have a less virulent one and less frequent infections. So I'm hoping that I can encourage people to adopt a healthy lifestyle that is going to promote the healthiest lymphatic system you can have, thus a better immune system, and just improved quality of life overall, and hopefully less arduous to manage your lymphatic disorder.
Well, and you know, I appreciate you saying that, because at the same time, you know, doing like a surgery type thing, Leslin, is that some people don't. Yeah, sorry, the dog. Everybody gets the dogs once in a while. So, anyways, we're here. The thing that I'm talking about on this brief is that doctors that do lymphatics, you know, surgeries won't touch me until I lose a substantial amount of weight, and I'm sort of at a catch 22.
Yes.
What
yeah.
do you do
and
there?
So again, a lot of times it is looking at, you know, how they feel like you can come out of surgery. And I will tell you that using a ketogenic lifestyle, as you do, sets you up for being healthier going into a surgery. And it also will help you with your healing after post-surgery. And so hopefully, you know, if you were to pursue that and consult with various surgeons, demonstrating that you've already lost a substantial amount of weight and you've been able to keep it off, they may feel that you are a candidate for surgery. So I think it's worth having that conversation and sure. consulting with surgeons to see what they say. And, you know, this may not be an option for you, but I certainly think it's something worth exploring.
Yes, it is.
To put with everything else that you're already doing.
That's good. That is very, I agree with you, and I want to, and that's an option now. Dr. Chen's one, a doctor, right? You know who he is,
Dr. Chen. Dr. Chen is. Are you talking about Wei Chen
yes,
in
Wei Chen.
A Cleveland Clinic?
Yes. So I've heard of him. Uh-huh. Dr. Granzow is another one.
Yes, he's in L.A. And now I think he's also setting up a practice in Florida.
Wow, good. Mm-hmm. Well, he needs to come to St. Louis, so that's what I tell him.
So, Florida's a little bit closer to you than,
yes,
than L.A.
Exactly. Well, the thing, too, is like, you know, with the ketogenic aspect, and I appreciate you saying that, and that's something I definitely want to have been wanting to explore because I just want to get past this. You know, and I know people that are listening to this, you want to get past this. You're frustrated. You have nowhere to go, but there is hope. I mean, that's why I have Leslyn on today, because she's offering us hope. It's not just as dismal as everybody perceives. I know it's frustrating, but whenever it's out of my control, Leslyn. I can't, you know, I've had to, like, I used to think holding on to this was my control. But when I finally let go of it, I finally found out, wow, I'm in control now because I can't do anything except take the next step that's in front of me.
Right.
And that's what I'm doing.
And before, you didn't have any steps. You felt like you're trapped in a downward spiral.
That's right.
And now you have, like you're talking about, you have that sense of control and purpose.
Yes.
And not only that, you're taking it to the world. You are getting the word out and helping other people that are in the same situation that you're in.
Wow. Well, I appreciate you saying that. And that's what I feel like. But you just, like, I mean, you're laying golden roads down right now with all this to say from, you know, the ketogenic diet, from, you know, aqua therapy, you know, all these different things that you're saying right now is amazing. But the thing is, you know, somebody's listening right now. Could you give somebody, because people are like, oh, how do I do the ketogenic? You know, what do I do here? What do I can't, you know, I don't know where to start. Could you simplify how somebody could get and start on doing a low carb, you know, moderate fat type, you know, meal plan?
Sure. And I will say that in my first book and my new book that's coming out, Lymphatic Code, I have just a food list.
Good.
A shopping list of what are the all kinds of the animal source foods that you can choose from, and also what are the low carb fruits and vegetables you could choose from. And so that sometimes helps, just have something that you can go to the grocery store with and, you know, pick things from that list that you enjoy, because this should be an enjoyable way of eating. But I will talk to you a little bit, Sean, about how I started on this, because, you know, just 10, 11 years ago, I started learning about carbohydrate restriction, and I didn't know exactly what to do. And so I focused on I had big four. I had four high carbohydrate foods that I eliminated from my diet. And that just those four foods had an immediate impact on my health and energy level and all kinds of stuff. And so that was a big one, is bread.
Yes.
So very high carb. And it turns out also that grain is super inflammatory to your body in general, but and particularly to the lymphatic system. And so, you know, I was eating bread with every meal. And so that was huge, just to eliminate bread. And I have many patients that just start with that one thing, no bread. And so then the other food was potatoes. And those are very starchy high sugar, even though it's not sweet, that's high sugar.
Yes.
And so, so eliminating potatoes from your diet. And so, I mean, I always encourage people to eat steak, but what do we have with steak, right? We're having a roll
potato.
And we're having a baked potato, right?
Yeah.
And we were always told that everything we put on the baked potato was bad for you. The sour cream and the cheese and the bacon bits and all that kind of stuff was bad for you. Oh, it turns out just those toppings are good for you, but not the potato itself. And so eliminating also potatoes. Then the other thing is rice. And this is particularly for those cultures that rice can be a staple part of their diet. I didn't eat a whole lot of rice, but I'm thinking of like Latino cultures that use a lot of rice, Asian cultures that use a lot of rice.
Yes.
And so eliminating that, and there's alternatives, the keto alternatives that can give you that.
Cauliflower rice.
And so you can have a low carb alternative. So you don't feel like you've just totally taken a huge part of the food that you enjoy out of your diet. And the last one is pasta. And our Italian folks, you know, this may be difficult for them, but it's also, I think it's a staple part of a standard American diet. It's something easy to make. And
mac
so
mac and cheese, you know.
Yes.
Yes.
All any of those kind of noodles or macaronis and stuff like that. So eliminating that. And so if you are someone that says, oh, I already don't eat a lot of bread. Well, maybe there's something in those big four that you do eat a lot of, and focusing on eliminating that. And so this right there can take reduce your carbohydrate intake to such a substantial degree that you will notice a difference in how you feel, how satiated you are, your energy level, your ability to think and concentrate will change within weeks of doing that. I mean, Sean, can you share a little bit about what, when you first adopted carbohydrate restriction and started eating healthy fat, besides the weight loss, what are some things that you noticed that happened to you?
Decreased appetite.
You weren't hungry all the time.
Not at all. Not especially whenever I did the carnivore. Mm-hmm. I had a hard time eating. Mm-hmm. I just wasn't even
hungry.
Interested. Not at all. I mean, I didn't know cravings.
Right.
You know, and that's what everybody thinks. I can't do it because I got these cravings. Well, my appetite decreased like nobody's business, and my cravings were non-existent because, you know, sugar begets sugar. You know, you eat sugar, you're going to want more sugar, you know, and then you're going to want to crave carbohydrates like nobody's business.
Yep.
And that's the thing. So that's all the things that I experience.
Yeah, and we had a presentation at a symposium that we did on ketogenic diet for lymphatic disorders. And what the presenter, Karen Ashforth, another lymphedema therapist, what she said, she called that carbohydrate hell.
Mm-hmm.
You are trapped in carbohydrate hell. That the more carbohydrates you eat, the more you crave.
That's exactly
and the more
right.
you then eat. And you have this constant hunger, a constant swing in your blood sugars that causes a mood swing.
Yep.
A decreased ability to think clearly. So all these things happen when you're caught in carbohydrate hell. And so it seems like I just don't think I can stop eating those food because, yes, it is an absolute craving and an addiction that happens with carbohydrates. So it is tough.
Yes.
But once you get past that, and for a lot of people, it takes about 2 weeks or so.
Yes.
You break out of that carbohydrate hell. And as you said, you are satiated. You have less appetite because you know what? You're getting the nutrients you need and your blood sugar is staying stable. Your quality of life just improves just with that.
Yeah,
even before you even lose any weight
or
fluid.
Yeah.
You already feel better.
Mental clarity.
Yes.
You know, the fog is completely, I mean, you feel good. The energy, mm-hmm. you know, is just amazing too. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's great. I mean, low carb, moderate fat. And like I said, getting the right people think, well, I can eat any kind of, you know, fat, I'm going to have, this and that. But you got to be careful, making sure that you're using avocado oil, not just any kind of butter. You know what I'm saying? You can use that having that stuff because, I heard this, we didn't get fat eating fat, right? Because fat doesn't make you fat. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You have to have a certain amount of, that's where your macros come.
But there are bad fats, exactly. Just as you're talking about. Yes.
And what's some bad fats to avoid, Leslyn?
Well, and I think that there was a movement in this country actually starting at the turn of the last century in the early 1900s that we were talking about, that plant-based fats are going to be better for us. And unfortunately, oil fat out of a seed requires us to use some heavy chemical use and a lot of heat. And so those types of oils produced from that, and that's our canola oil. The thing that was really popular around the turn of the last century was Crisco, and then eventually margarine. These are highly inflammatory fats.
Yes.
Because of the processing to produce them, those are going to, and there are many researchers out there that are saying that this is just as big of a contributor to our population in general is so sick is because of the huge use of these processed vegetable oils.
Right.
But as you said, there are some good vegetable oils, and that would be the ones that are just by pressing a cold press like we do to make olive oil, like we do to make avocado oil or to coconut oil. This, we don't have to heat it up and we don't have to add any chemicals. And so these are going to be healthy. If you want to stay to more plant-based oils, then those are going to be your choices. But we don't need to fear the animal fats, the fats that come along naturally with those animal-source foods, any kind of meats, and then the fat that comes naturally with it. Dairy products, a really good source of delicious, healthy fats. If, some people have dairy intolerance, so that's not for you. But if you do okay with dairy, whole cream, butter, all these are going to be great. And now there is a fabulous line of plain yogurts that are high fat. I get this yogurt that is 17% fat, and it is so delicious and creamy. Foods that taste good are a lot of times foods that are really good for you, and that's especially in the case of these foods that are high in these healthy fats.
Yes, wow. This is good stuff. So here's the thing, is we're coming to a close here, Leslyn. This is great stuff. Somebody right now has lymphedema, out there. They're struggling. They're as frustrated as I am. And what could you give the next steps that they need to take, or the major step? They don't know where to go. They don't know where to turn.
Yes. So the first step is to get to someone who knows about lymphatic disorders and how to treat them. And so I always, and we can put this hopefully in your show notes, people to closetraining.com. This is Günter Klose, came over from Germany about 30 years ago, and his mission has been to train lymphedema therapists to learn, that people that are OTs and PTs, to train them how to treat lymphedema. And so I'm an instructor for him. I help teach therapists to treat lymphedema. And on his website at closetraining.com, he has a therapist directory. And so if you find a close trained therapist near you, that person is going to be is going to know the right way to treat lymphedema, because there's a lot of people out there that say they treat lymphedema, but they may not be doing the best way to treat it.
No.
And certainly any of my graduates, students that graduate from my program, I always talk to them about the ketogenic diet and have, hopefully they will implement that as part of their practice, what they offer to their patients. But there are very basic things that should be done and should be done properly. And it's going to be manual lymph drainage. That's a gentle massage to help move the fluid out. It's going to be skin care. It's going to be compression wrapping or compression garments. It's going to be certain exercises that you are able to do without pain to help move that fluid out. It's going to be deep breathing. So doing all this overall program, and we call that program complete decongestive therapy. You need the whole program in order to best address your lymphedema, and you need an intense program. There are some therapists out there that will do treatments once or twice a week, and then you're with that therapist for 6 months with not as good of a response. But the best way to do it, and this again can be very arduous, but 5 days a week for several weeks, probably depending on how severe your case is, it can be up to 4 or 5 or 6 weeks. But very intense treatment seems to have the best outcomes rather than spreading it out over a long period of time. And this, for someone who's still working, this can be difficult to schedule that into your life. But if you are definitely at that more severe end of that spectrum, taking that time out to address your health, taking a little vacation, and I like to think of it as a spa treatment. You're going in for your daily spa treatment, you know?
Yes.
And focusing on you, because you want to be there for your family. You want to be there to enjoy your life. You only get one shot at the life, at this life, and let's make the best of it. And so you need to, it's okay to focus on you.
Good.
And to take care of yourself and get the help of a trained therapist to help you with this, because maybe you've been going this alone for a long time. You've been trying to take care of this on your own, and it's just, you know, you feel like it's getting worse. You need to get to that trained therapist that can help guide you to get a handle on that. And then once you get a handle on that with the support of a trained therapist, then you can look at these other lifestyle things that are also going to favorably impact your lymphedema, including nutrition.
Wow. This is good stuff, Leslie. I mean, you know your stuff. I mean, this is enriched, I mean, beyond measure. It's like, gives me hope. It gives me great. And if I have that, I know anybody that's struggling out there that has this is going to be enriched and have a little bit of hope. And everything that Leslie mentions all going to be in her show notes, her books down. Get her books. You know, she has that food list. Everything that she said, she put in there, so you can have it any given time. And we're also going to be doing the Obesity Revolution. We're going to do a webinar with Leslie as well. And then do some lives also in our groups, because people that struggle with lymphedema, we got your back is what we're going to do. And as we're closing this too, Leslie, I just got invited. You invited me to a symposium.
Yes.
And we're going to do a whole, you know, episode on this just before it happens. Matter of fact, I'll be speaking on my birthday, October 23rd.
Yes.
Which is pretty awesome. But tell everybody about the symposium coming out and how it was before, how, you know, the people that came. It's a virtual symposium. So
yes.
No excuses. Anybody can be there. So
yes.
Tell everybody a little about that. I'm honored to be a speaker. So.
Yes, as Sean was saying, that he's going to be one of our speakers at the symposium. It's a innovative solutions for lipedema, which is a fat disorder, and lymphedema symposium. And we're going to be talking about cutting edge innovations for the treatment and management of lymphatic and fat disorders, and including a ketogenic diet. There's going to be speakers there that are going to be talking about that. So you may know some of these if you're in the low-carb community. Gary Fetke, Paul Mason are several of the speakers. And then some speaker that you have had on your show, on your podcast, is going to be Kelly Bell. He's mm-hmm. going to be talking about how he's used a ketogenic diet to manage his condition.
Yes.
And then, of course, Sean will be there. So we're going to have various speakers that will be talking about a variety of aspects, including nutrition, to the management of lymphedema. And then each day, and it is a three-day virtual conference, each day there will be a patient panel. So there's going to be three people on each panel that have a lymphatic or fat disorder, and they're going to be talking about their own journey.
Thanks for listening to the Obesity Revolution. Now it's your time to join the revolution. You can follow Sean's weight loss journey and get coached by trainer extraordinaire Brandon Glore at theobesityrevolution.com.